A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Glad to have you with us on another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Coming up in a matter of moments, you're going to hear from Lewis County, New York Sheriff Michael Carpinelli. You know, and typically, I know we've talked a lot about Virginia here on the program, but typically I don't like to fixate too much on one story or one state. And I know that we were just one county. I know we were just talking about Lewis County, New York yesterday. Patrick Morse, one of the organizers of this a drive there in Lewis County to have local lawmakers adopt a Second Amendment sanctuary ordinance, was with us kind of talking about the ordinance and the incredible turnout earlier this week. But I wanted to, I also reached out yesterday to Sheriff Carpinelli because he is a supporter of this, and I wanted to get his perspective. I heard from Sheriff Carpinelli on Wednesday afternoon. We were able to set something up for Thursday morning, and I want you to take a listen. I will apologize. Sheriff Carpinelli was on duty today, and so he was out and about. So we did have a couple of minor cell phone drops, but I want you to hear. I don't think it's going to impact your ability to hear what the sheriff has to say. And really, I mean, it's pretty remarkable what Sheriff Carpinelli told me. I mean, he says he is ready, if need be, to lose his job defending the Second Amendment rights of county residents. Take a look and a listen. Hey, Sheriff, thanks so much for coming on the program. It's great talking with you today.
Cam, thanks for having me on.
I know that you were there Monday night when hundreds of residents there in Lewis County were urging local lawmakers to adopt the Second Amendment sanctuary ordinance. You are a supporter of this ordinance as well, are you not?
Yes, I am, sir.
So what exactly does this ordinance do?
Well, as you said, I mean, as I spoke to you the other day in regards to Pat Morris, he's a spokesperson for a group that has been very strong-minded in pushing against the infringement on our constitutional Second Amendment right in the state of New York. We have a governor here who is a complete tyrant and has really passed. He said he's going to be the most progressive a state in the union, and be the first one to pass, really, really strict gun control laws. And we're pushing back on it. We're tired of it. And I'm one of the sheriffs. I was the only one in the legislature to come out 8 years ago to stand against it, the strongest. The other sheriffs got on board, and we all started to oppose this. But you need the people behind you to do it. You can't do it by yourself, and the people have been really woken up. That's what happened to your state down in Virginia.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I got to tell you, though, I mean, this ordinance that you all are pushing there in Lewis County goes farther than anything that I've seen in the state of Virginia, quite frankly. I mean, we've seen these resolutions that have said we don't plan on spending any county funds to enforce unconstitutional gun laws. That's pretty standard language in the Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions that have passed in Virginia. But this is an actual ordinance that folks are hoping to put on the books there in Lewis County, saying we're not going to spend any county funds to enforce any New York state gun control law.
That's correct. That's not this isn't of my doing. It's not of our spokesperson there, Pat Morse. It's a group of citizens who really had enough of our tyrant, Governor Cuomo, pushing forth completely unconstitutional gun restriction laws against the Constitution. And they've finally had it where if the governor can pass all kinds of sanctuary states, for illegal immigrants, to give away driver's license to undocumented aliens, and other ridiculous laws, people said, you know what? We're going to push back till we've had enough. And I don't blame them, and I'm backing them.
So what do you think the prospects are for this ordinance passing there in Lewis County?
Now, it's before the board of legislators. They're going to take a look at it. They'll come back at the beginning of next month and make a final resolution to propose to the people. If the people accept it, then they'll vote it into law for the county.
All right. Now, I know that I've seen some other sheriffs quoted in the local press as saying, look, we don't like the SAFE Act any more than anybody else. We don't go out of our way to enforce the SAFE Act. But we can't get on board with similar language because I've seen some sheriffs say, you know, look, Governor Cuomo has the authority or the ability to remove us from our job if we don't enforce the laws, and we don't want to see that happen. So, you know, even though we don't like these laws, we've got to go along with it. Have you had conversations with other sheriffs about this issue? And what's your take on that argument of, you know, listen, we're going to lose our job if we stick our neck out?
Yes. I pretty much, like I said, I'm drawing a line in the sand with our governor here. I started that back way back when the state that came out. And I think sheriffs tell me, you know, be careful. And I understand that. There's times to be careful. There's also times to take a stance for your people who elected you. And also, the strongest thing that I have is, and also being a former United States soldier, is that you swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And that's what I follow first. First and foremost, besides any other one. I'm not just, you know, talking rhetoric. And you know, it's come to a point in the state of New York, you have to take that stand. This governor, like I say, I can't help it, you know, he's tipping him, but how can one law be made if it's passed that we can take a 9-month-old newborn child, it's illegal now in the state of New York, a 9-month born, just minutes, seconds born, put into a nurse's arms. If the mother declines to want the life of that baby, a doctor is allowed to walk in and put a needle in the back of that child's neck and terminate its life. But yet I can't take my firearm and defend that life? If we wanted to, that's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
You know, we've seen in Virginia, I think we've got now 91 out of the 95 counties that have passed either resolutions or in a couple of cases, ordinances. And this, you know, it didn't begin in Virginia, but this movement certainly, I think, got national attention because of the speed in which so many counties and communities adopted resolutions here in the state. What are you seeing there in upstate New York? Obviously, the opposition to the SAFE Act has been around as long as the SAFE Act itself. I mean, I remember driving through, I think it was Dutchess County a couple mm-hmm. of years ago and seeing still the repeal the SAFE Act yard signs, you know, that a lot of people had left up since 2013. Has the Second Amendment sanctuary movement in Virginia, has it reinvigorated gun owners in New York State?
Well, it certainly has. And I'll tell you why it did it. It's not so much that the people have slowed down here or lost momentum. It was when your governor came out and declared a state of emergency and took together, married together, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, but I'm going to say it, the Virginia State Police, the Capitol Police, and the city of Richmond, Virginia, correct?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, from where I stand from, I know when you do something like that, that is technically called martial law, if I'm not correct.
I don't know if it was an official declaration of martial law, but it was a state of emergency there in the city of Richmond over a couple right. of days, yeah.
And it sends a loud and clear message then to the citizens, what is my governor coming after me for? I've done nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong but want to call for a peaceful rally, show up to argue that we're not happy with what you're about to propose on us and legislate. And he turns around and then, along with the press, fabricates and twists it to say that it's a bunch of white supremacists and other you know, domestic so-called terrorists making threats. Well, that alarmed everybody here because we have the New York State Police here, a great agency, but again, they're run by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
He uses them and any way that he feels that he needs to. When it's lawful, that's fine. But when you turn your own people against your own people, it's a dangerous road to go down when you're in charge of a state.
Well, absolutely. And you know, unfortunately, I mean, I think I don't live in New York, but I've followed New York gun laws pretty closely. And, you know, what's really sad, Sheriff, is that, I mean, there are so many flaws with the SAFE Act that Governor Cuomo just ignores, you know, parts of the legislation that have not gone into effect years later because they're completely unworkable. But rather than address this issue, rather than admit failure, the governor continues to pile more and more gun laws, you know, on top of one another. I mean, you've got in New York State, supposedly, you're supposed to go through a background check every time you purchase ammunition, but the state police couldn't figure out how to make that work, so the governor just quietly dropped that. Governor Cuomo originally said you can't have a 10-round magazine. You can only have up to a 7-round magazine. Then that got changed, not through the law or anything, just through, you know, governmental fiat from the governor. He said, well, okay, now you can have your 10-round magazines, but you can only have 7 rounds in them. We've seen massive noncompliance for the registration of so-called assault weapons, massive noncompliance for the re-registration of handguns in New York State. And when you look at the data, it seems to me like most of these SAFE Act arrests are actually, this is as of 2017, I think the vast majority of them are coming from Brooklyn and the Bronx. You know, this is not a law that is being used statewide. It's frankly, it's being used basically and primarily in New York City to go after people for illegally possessing a firearm without a license. Which, by the way, isn't a crime in most states, Sheriff.
Right, I know it. Oh, again, like you say, you fall back here to much like England anymore. You name it, we got it here. It seems like, you know, with this governor, like I said, he is just so far left, and he's lost his mind. It seems like. And wanted to be the first guy in the entire country to beat everybody else out. That's a thing, because that's not representative of all the people in this state. And I can tell you this too, that, you know, even Downston, New York City, not everybody down there goes along with all this. You know, it's the one thing. The mayor wants to run the president. That's what he's trying to do. He's just grandstanding, trying to get as many votes as he can conjure up. But in the meantime, the people are going to suffer for his arrogance and his pride.
So what do you say to people who would say, Sheriff, listen, you can't just pick and choose what laws you're going to follow. I mean, if a county adopts an ordinance that says we're not going to enforce any state gun laws, well, what about another county that says we're not going to enforce any of the state's drug laws? Do you feel like you're on solid legal ground, or do you feel like this movement is on solid legal ground?
Here's what I have to say. I will back the Constitution 100%, the United States Constitution. I'll back the people that elect me into office. And with a lot of people disagree, you know, we'll still keep them safe. But everybody, between the media, not you, but between the media, some of your elected other officials, your legislators, some of your senators, they can tell people there's other laws on the books that you don't need to have these laws to make those arrests. Mm. And we have ultimate discretion. You know, the district attorney is the one who brings the charge. All we do is make the arrest on the person.
Right.
We have discretion not to arrest that person. No, there's no law saying we have to arrest somebody.
So are you prepared to lose your job over this if the governor comes out and says, hey, Sheriff, I've been hearing what you're saying, and we're going to have a new sheriff in Lewis County.
Yeah. I've been there before. You know, I'm not trying to put a sharp stick in the governor's eye, but at the same time, I'm tired of having my gun rage stuck up someplace else. So, when a bully punches in the nose, you take that bully, put him in a headlock, and tell him you had enough. Leave me alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, logistically, I mean, I was looking at how that would work. Frankly, I have a very hard time picturing Governor Cuomo picking that fight with county sheriffs, particularly if there is, you know, safety in numbers, if you've got other sheriffs that are signing on to this cause. But even if the sheriff were to do that, even if he were to remove a duly elected sheriff and appoint somebody else, there's then a special election that will take place, right? That's only a temporary appointment by the governor. And I've got to imagine that if any pro Second Amendment sheriff in the state of New York is removed by the governor from their position because they said we're not going to enforce these gun control laws, I would think that they would get reelected in a landslide by their upstate constituents there during the next special election.
Well, you would hope so. You would hope so. You know.
Yeah. What has the reaction been there in Lewis County? Have you been getting any grief from residents who disagree with your stance?
Well, yes, we did. We did have a few that showed up the night to the courthouse when the proposition was brought forth to legislators.
Mm-hmm.
They were a polite group of people. I understand their feelings where they are. It's unfortunate they've been misled by again lies and misinformation and data. I spoke to them and I told them, just like everybody else in this room, I said, at this time, I still protect all of you. It doesn't mean that we're just that I'm taking one side. I still protect everybody. That's my job. That's the oath that we have. So that's what I tell them. You know, I mean, we're not, you have the right to feel the way you do. And I'm still going to tell you that you're safe in this county.
Yeah. But by and large, it seems like, at least in Lewis County, the supporters of this Second Amendment Sanctuary ordinance far outnumber those opposed, at least from what we've seen in public meetings and even petition drives.
So far we do. So far we do. You know, but we're not careful, and we don't continue to try to, you know, explain to people. We don't have to educate them. Explain to them.
Mm-hmm.
Go read the Constitution. Study your history. And on a fact-based issue, not what you're hearing, look up for yourself. And I'm hoping that they would realize just what the Second Amendment says and stands for, and then realize that maybe we are right, you know?
Yeah. Well, listen, Sheriff, again, I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. I would love to check back in. You said the local legislators are going to be meeting again next week. Is that when we might learn what they plan on doing?
Yes. And we should have an answer. I'm hoping either by the end of this month or the first part of April coming up. Nope. March.
Okay. So, all right. Well, let's stay in touch, Sheriff. I appreciate you coming on the program today.
Damn, thank you very much for giving a northern guy a chance to say something. We're all support of our southern brothers and sisters. Want to know that. You are not just one way, okay?
Hey, listen, north, south, east, west, we're all Americans, and you are always welcome here. Sheriff Michael Carpinelli from Lewis County, New York. Thanks for being a part of Cam and Company.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
So we will certainly be following what's going on in Lewis County, New York, as well as other upstate counties, see if any sheriffs join Sheriff Carpinelli in opposing the state-level gun control laws there in New York State. And what, if any, reaction we see from the governor? I do believe the governor does not ultimately really want to pick a fight with county sheriffs. I think it is a fight that Governor Cuomo certainly has the authority, I guess, to remove these sheriffs. But I don't think that'd be a popular decision. In Lewis County, it would be seen, I think, as an act of a overbearing tyrant. And as I told Sheriff Carpinelli, I suspect that any sheriff who was removed by Governor Cuomo would handily win a special election to take their seat back if need be. But again, we'll watch as this issue unfolds there in upstate New York over the next couple of weeks, as well as around the country, because, again, the Second Amendment Sanctuary movement is not confined to one state. It is very, very difficult to keep track of all of the counties around the country that are adopting these resolutions. In fact, I've stopped even trying to keep track, but maybe we will. Maybe we should start doing that. Maybe we should do a Second Amendment Sanctuary roundup every day where we just kind of talk about the various counties and communities that have done this. Right now, let's get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, our recidivist report, which is they all get to me, but this one really gets to me. You may have seen the story a few days ago about a double murder at Texas A&M Commerce on campus there in one of the residence halls. Well, a suspect has been arrested in this case. It's the estranged boyfriend of one of the victims. Abney Matz was killed along with her sister Deja. Deja was a student there at Texas A&M Commerce. Her sister was not, but her sister apparently was staying there with her two-year-old child, in part because she was concerned and scared about what her estranged boyfriend might do. As CBS in Dallas reports, just a few weeks ago, Abney Matz had actually reported her ex, Jackie Smith, to police, and Smith was arrested on January 27th for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. An affidavit details this attack, which, as I said, was just brutal. Smith allegedly broke a glass lamp over Abney's head, threw a box fan at her, threw a television at her, body slammed her to the floor, hit her on the head with a metal frying pan, and then stood over her with a knife in his hand and told her, "I will kill you." He then took off in her car. Police were able to catch up with him and, again, take him into custody. But he was released 2 days later on $15,000 bond. And there were a lot of folks, again, wondering why this was the case. An emergency protective order was completed for Abney after the alleged assault 1 week before she was murdered. And a lot of folks, again, are wondering, why was this guy out and able to do these things? Garland, Texas police say that at the time they arrested Smith, He was not in violation of his probation for prior criminal incidents, that there were no outstanding warrants. That may be the case. But his arrest back on January 27th was then a violation of his probation. And on January 31st, his probation was revoked. A warrant for his arrest was issued. 3 days later, he allegedly murdered the two sisters there at Texas A&M Commerce. Should have been behind bars. Should not have been out on the street. Right now, he's behind bars on a $2 million bond. But had he been held in a higher bond the first time around, then these murders might never have happened. All right, on to our armed citizen story of the day. From Tulare County, California, where a home invasion suspect posing as a sheriff's deputy was shot and killed. This was sort of a breaking news, I guess, here on Thursday morning. KFSN, Wednesday morning, I should say. Tulare County family, they say, heard banging on their front door Tuesday evening around 10 p.m. Tulare County Sheriff's Lieutenant Joe Torres said they could hear the person at the door yelling, "Sheriff's office, sheriff's office." The victims thought it was odd. It was late hours. And then the suspects then forced their way into the living room area. They busted the front door. Lieutenant Torres says at that point, the homeowner knew for sure he was not dealing with members of the sheriff's department. They were not wearing uniforms. He says that's when the homeowner and the suspect started shooting at each other. One suspect hit in the upper body, died at the scene. Other suspects got away. Homeowner's wife and child and another man were inside the home at the time. Nobody was hurt beyond the suspect who was shot and killed. Lieutenant Torres says, although we were in the early stages, it was a home invasion that went terribly wrong. He said there were four people in the residence along with a 13-year-old that could all have been killed if it weren't for the homeowner taking action. In other words, if it weren't for the homeowner protecting himself and his family with a firearm, this could have ended up very differently. Detectives say they are not ready to release a motive for the home invasion. Sheriff's officials say that anybody who was in the area might have seen anything. They would love to talk. The investigation is still ongoing. But again, a case of self-defense there in Tulare County, California. And another reminder that, you know, in California, folks like Gavin Newsom, anti-gun lawmakers, want to make it as hard as possible for people to protect themselves from violent criminals. Well, at the same time, these same lawmakers are going easy on violent criminals. They want them to be released back into the streets as quickly as they possibly can be after they're arrested, charged, and convicted for their violent crimes. All right, on to our good deed of the day. Tulsa, Oklahoma, Channel 6 News in Tulsa with the story of police officer Stephen Tidwell, who changed a life when he used his discretion. Officer Tidwell could have arrested a guy for public drunk. And instead, he decided, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to take him to a nonprofit group called the Tulsa Sobering Center. And as it turns out, that was a move that completely transformed Michael Rourke. Michael Rourke says, after being here for about 2 or 3 weeks, the light started to click and come on. And as Rourke graduated from a recovery program, Officer Stephen Tidwell was there to watch it happen, to shake his hand, to be a part of that moment. Officer Tidwell says, you'll bring people in and you don't know what comes out on the other side. You don't see the finished product. Michael reached out to me, asked me to attend his graduation, and I went to the graduation. It was an amazing experience. So in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to use the discretion granted to them by the law, Officer Stephen Tidwell there in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we thank you for your very good deed. And that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Now, just a reminder, coming up on tomorrow's program, it's going to be an all-email edition. I'm actually going to be taping it. I'll be in the same clothes, but I promise I haven't slept in them or anything like that. Just have a doctor's appointment with my wife on Friday morning. We get to get to find out the latest results of her CT scan and find out what the next steps are in treating her lung cancer. So I will not be doing a live show Friday, but we are going to have a new program with your comments, your questions. Be sure to tune in for that. Don't forget, you can subscribe to Barry and Armis Cam & Company at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, townhall.com's podcast page, Town Hall Media at YouTube. You can also become a VIP member of Barry and Arms, get exclusive commentary, analysis, and more. You can do that at barryandarms.com. Thanks for being a part of the program, and we'll see you here soon with another edition of Barry and Arms, Cam & Company.